Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, April the 17th, 2025. And Tom, it's no secret, I do not like windy, dusty days, but...
Who does?
Yeah, who does?
Kite flyers might.
Maybe the kite flyers. But anyway, we will get through it on our way to what should be a glorious Easter morning. Looking forward to that. Anytime we can do Easter in mid to late April, like 75 to 80, I will certainly take that, because that's kind of my favorite comfort zone, right around 80 degrees. All right, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, which is part of the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations now under one roof. They're all doing pretty darn well. This one is the News Talk Station. It's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. I'm in my 15th year. That started in January with our radio show, after 22 years over on Arizona Illustrated on PBS Channel 6. So that puts me now 37th year involved in Tucson radio and TV. And of course, my career add a couple of decades to that in other places. So as they say, I didn't get off the bus yesterday. How's that? All right. We have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts on our website, buckmastershow.com. And when I say all of the podcasts, pretty much all of them, since we started doing the program in January of 2011, we try to get the podcast put up. Oh, Rosemary Brandt takes care of that for me. They're usually up by about 5 in the afternoon, 5 or 6, we get the show, the daily show up. So easy to use website, everything pretty much we have done over the last 14 full years, now into year 15. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we talk about one of my favorite subjects, being a travel hobbyist. How's that? I love to talk about airplanes and airports and stuff like that. So it's a natural that we get to learn about kind of the behind-the-scenes things going on at Tucson International Airport and the other property that is part of the Tucson Airport Authority, and that's the aviation field, Ryan Field, which we don't really hear much about. Maybe we'll hear a little bit more about it today with Adam Crutchmer. I get it, Adam? Did I nail it?
You got it.
All right, all right. Adam is the Director of Operations and Maintenance. Wow. I was visiting with Adam about some of the things we're going to talk about. I cannot believe, first of all, the airport's got 8,000 acres, huge footprint. And what Adam and his team, what they oversee, it's pretty amazing. Why don't you tell, first of all, Adam, great to meet you and have you on the show.
Nice to meet you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about what your responsibilities are there at the airport.
Yeah, so I oversee three different departments. The maintenance department, which is basically everything except for aircraft maintenance. We maintain the airfield, the runways, the taxiways, the terminal, all of our fleet vehicles, the landscaping. And then I have my custodial team who maintains the cleanliness of the terminal. Make sure it's clean and presentable for all of our travelers. And then mm-hmm. I also have an airside operations team, and their main role is to ensure that we have a safe airfield and to respond to any incidents that might happen on our airfield.
Mm-hmm. So the mechanics that come on, you know, that work on the aircrafts, we've all been in that situation. We have a slight delay, and then mm-hmm. the guys come on and, you know, look, check out cockpit or an engine or something. That's not part of your team.
That's not. Those are either the airlines or a contractor of the mm-hmm. airlines.
But part of your team is huge. You've got, like, I didn't realize not just one or two vehicles that you guys maintain. How many do you maintain?
We have between 100 and 200 vehicles.
Up to 200 vehicles.
When you count all of our equipment. And
including the big fire engines.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And you can change the oil on those things in-house.
We do. We do all the servicing in-house on those.
Yep. You were mentioning something that's fascinating to me, these huge vehicles, and they're very specialized, as one could imagine. Mm-hmm. And you've got two of them on order. They're extremely expensive. You've got to have special, with the changeover, with the firefighting foam, folks have all heard about that. I think people have heard about, you know, we've switched over to a safer foam. You wanted the trucks to be clean when all this stuff goes into them.
Right. There's a cleaning process that you can go through to prepare for the new foam, but we know that that's not going to be 100% clean. So the airport has made a big investment to ensure that we have vehicles that are brand new and ready to take on the new environmentally friendlier foam, to be as good of a steward with the environment as we can.
Do you have to have two trucks at all time available?
We do. So we have a certain minimum index is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And our fire department has to maintain that index at all times. And that's why we have mechanics in-house that can fix these fire trucks at a moment's notice. And in fact, they're on call 24 hours a day to respond if needed.
And what if they get a flat tire?
If they get a flat tire, we're replacing it. Can't just throw a plug in it and run it down the road. Yeah. There's standards that we have to follow, and one of those standards is that those tires are not repairable, and we replace it with a new one.
And the new one will cost?
They're about $4,000 right now. For
$4,000?
Yeah, it's not the standard fire truck tire that you see rolling around. It's a very specialized military-grade tire.
And these trucks are expensive. They can be up to $1 million, right?
Yeah, they can be. Yep, the two that we have on order, we're right around that mark, and we're expecting to see them by the end of the year.
So the maintenance of the runway, it's really, folks may think, well, it's just an easy deal. Do a quick eyeball check, but there's a lot that goes into that. Adam, why don't you tell our listeners about the day-to-day operation of a runway?
Yeah, so our main runway is about 2 miles long. It's 150 feet wide, and we maintain everything that you can see on that runway. So whether it's a paint marking or a sign or a light or the runway itself, my team maintains that. So we have very specialized maintenance equipment to go along with that, whether that's a paint striper or our electricians that are qualified to work on every sign is lit. You can imagine how many lights we have when you have a 2 mile long runway.
Hundreds.
And again, they're on call 24 hours a day in case something happens with one of those. And our airside operations team is vigilant and out there all the time, making sure that if anything does go bad, that it's reported immediately.
Is there an operation that checks before the first flight of the day?
There is. Our airside operations team does multiple inspections a day, but one is called our pre-departure inspection. Mm-hmm. And they go and make sure that our airfield is 100% safe, that there's no what we call FOD or foreign object debris, anything that can get ingested into the aircraft engine or create a safety issue. They do a full airfield inspection multiple times a day.
It is so important not to have anything on a runway. I mean, you do not want an aircraft taking off or landing and hitting, as you call it, a foreign object.
Correct.
I mean, it doesn't really matter what the size of that is.
Yeah, we also have the F-16s that operate on our airfield, so we have, you know, their air intakes on their engines are very low to the ground, so they're very sensitive to even, you know, small rocks and that sort of thing. So we have street sweepers that go along our airfield every day and clean up any, you know, debris or rocks or sticks that might mm-hmm. blow out there.
Well, one of the things I learned before we went on air with you, Adam, and probably the main reason I still do this radio show is to try to learn something new for myself every show, and I think this would be probably new to people. I didn't realize that even in our monsoon season, there cannot be any pooling or standing water on the airport or the property for, I think, 48 hours. Is that what you said?
Correct.
And tell us about all of that, how that came about.
Yeah, what we don't want is we don't want standing water on the airport because it's going to attract wildlife. And mm-hmm. wildlife are a big hazard to aircraft, especially birds. Mm-hmm. And if you have standing water, you're going to attract birds. Mm-hmm. So all of our airfield is graded in a way to shed the water. We don't want it to shed too fast because we don't want to create flooding, mm-hmm. but we also don't want to retain that water and attract wildlife. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that our airside operations team is monitoring and making sure that our drainage basins are draining, that our washes don't have big pockets in them that are holding water that might attract wildlife.
And you have 8,000 acres, and I'm sure that it's home to many families of coyotes who really must feel like it's great property to build a home. But, you know, you don't want the coyotes and maybe the pups hanging out around the runway.
Right. Yeah, that's our biggest wildlife as far as sizable wildlife on our airfield mm-hmm. is coyotes.
Uh-huh.
And that's another, you know, everybody's vigilant to make sure that if they do see one, they're reporting it immediately and we get somebody out to harass it and kind of keep it away from the runway because they can be on property, but we don't want them anywhere near where aircraft are operating. And we try and make sure that anywhere that would be good habitat, we try and keep that away from the operating area.
All right. When we continue with Adam Kretschmer, after our break, we're going to learn about a total kind of interior makeover with new carpet. Everybody that's been to the airport knows about the orange seats. Those are going. We're going to learn all about this big makeover that's going to be happening, when it's going to be complete. Adam's going to fill us in about what's going on the inside of Tucson International Airport. We've been talking about the runways, but he's got a lot of other things on his mind beside the runways, like pretty much everything on the interior of the airport as well. So we'll take a break, but first, before we do, I want to talk about one of our new sponsors. I'm so delighted to have Pima Council on Aging joining our great partnership of friends that make our program possible. Support comes from Pima Council on Aging, PCOA's in-person and virtual healthy living programs focus on preventing falls, maintaining balance, improving flexibility and well-being while increasing socialization. PCOA's healthy living classes empower older adults to age well. Call PCOA Healthy Living at 520-305-3410. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday. A quick plug for our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. We have Joe Ferguson. I always like to bring in a guest co-media host on Friday. It'll be Joe Ferguson, formerly of the Arizona Daily Star, but Joe is now part of that new online service, which is doing very well, called Tucson Agenda. And Joe and I will be interviewing John Kamik. John is head, the director of Tucson Water, and that will be on our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. But coming up after the break, more about Tucson International Airport. Be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos, growing presence of Bustos Media here in town. Once a month, we talk about Tucson International Airport, what's going on at the airport, what it takes to run an airport, and I'm always surprised. It is a huge undertaking. They've got an 8,000-acre footprint. Adam Kretschmer is with me. Adam is Director of Operations and Maintenance at the airport, and he's got a lot in his portfolio. And for Adam, for people wondering, well, why does the airport need all that that acreage? I guess you just don't want homes built right up to the runway or a golf course or
It's for incompatible use, right? We don't want a golf course that's going to attract a lot of wildlife, or a new housing development that's going to have noise issues, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, we try and hold on to the property, and we do try and develop it, but develop it in a way that is compatible use with the airport.
The airport itself, your footprint, did I get that right before I was talking with you, 500,000 square feet?
It's roughly about that, yeah. It's at the main terminals, just over 400,000 square feet.
So let's talk about this kind of makeover, which sounds really nice.
Yeah, so this summer we have several big projects that are kicking off. The biggest one that I think people are going to really enjoy is replacing all of our carpet throughout the terminal. So if you've been there, you know that it's kind of a darker brown color. We're changing that completely to a lighter color.
Yeah, it needs to go.
It does. It's time.
It's time.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah, and the lighting too.
So that was something that our architect told us. If you really want this carpet to pop, let's upgrade your lighting at the same time.
Right.
So we're upgrading to a higher Kelvin lighting, which is more of a daylight temperature lighting.
And the orange chairs must go.
They are going as well. So we're going
to
have a nice...
to go out to the trash bin.
Dark navy blue color. So it's good. They're all going to complement each other very well.
Mm-hmm. And part of the... And it's a huge job because you've got landscaping too as well.
We do. So everything, kind of my motto is roadway to runway is what we're responsible for. So everything coming in, all the landscaping you see, I have a team of four people that maintain all of that landscaping.
How about repaving the roadways?
That's coming this summer as well.
Oh, so, you guys got a lot going on.
Yeah, hopefully next month is what it's scheduled to begin. We're repaving everything incoming and outgoing of the main terminal.
Mm-hmm. And the parking?
Parking is, you know, we maintain all the parking lots as well. The equipment is maintained in combination with our parking vendor and our information technology department.
Mm-hmm. So, imagine trying to, we've all dealt with like, you know, leaky roofs and everything like that. You probably have to, that's a huge roofing operation.
It is. I have a team of 10 people that maintain the facility, and they do anything from roof leaks to doors, and you know, if you see it, they maintain it, and we have them there almost 24 hours a day, but they're on 24-hour callback.
So you got interested in this because your specialty is fleet management, or fleet automobiles,
right,
trucks, and all that. And so you can, all of the managing, and you mentioned that any up to 200 vehicles, you don't send them like off site. You have the work bays, as they call it.
We do. Yeah. There. So we have a dedicated facility just to maintaining our fleet. And mm-hmm. we have a team of four highly qualified mechanics. And, you know, we try and do absolutely everything we can in-house. We don't like to send anything away because that just adds time and takes away from the customer experience ultimately.
You know, I want to circle back to the emergency vehicles, because there are certain standards that the federal government sets for major airports about how quickly you have to respond. What is your response time if there were to be some kind of an airport incident, Adam?
Yes, our fire department has to respond to the incident dispensing firefighting agent within 3 minutes. Okay. So our fire department is strategically placed on our airfield, and they get tested on it every year. In fact, they were just tested last month.
Mm-hmm.
They were there just over 2 minutes, so well within the time frame that the FAA sets.
You know, I have seen a jumbo jet out there that says Rolls Royce, and I know that Rolls Royce is a large aircraft engine manufacturer. Are they testing engines out at TIA?
They are. So they're a tenant of ours, and they have that big 747 parked there.
Right.
And they put engines on and off of it. And in fact, they're flying today mm-hmm. testing engines, and they test biofuels and sensors and all sorts of different aircraft related products. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we all have seen those huge hangars to the south of the airport. Tell us a little bit about what's going on out there.
Yeah, those are our MRO facilities, or maintenance, repair, and overhaul. Mm-hmm. So they do maintenance on mainly the regional jets, but we also have Bombardier on site, who is doing a lot of the business jet maintenance, global maintenance, finishing interiors, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, SkyWest, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Bombardier, those are the big presence. Ascent Aviation, those are the big MRO facilities that we have.
So SkyWest does a lot of the they would fly in an aircraft at night and try to get it out the next day?
Yeah, so they do a lot of regional jet maintenance, and they will do the maintenance overnight and then return the aircraft to the terminal so it's ready to depart the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's just a convenience factor for the airlines, right? Mm-hmm. While that aircraft is idle, it's getting all the work done and just improves efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. How about getting tradespeople, younger people involved? Are you guys reaching out to high schools? Because you've got a large workforce and you need people.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely something that we're working towards. I think we can do better at it, but we are, you know, we have a program with a high school where they do some internships with us, mainly in admin positions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of that, is to try and get them excited about aviation and show them what it is that we have at an airport.
So we haven't talked at all, other than my mention at the beginning of the interview about what Ryan Field is all about. People may not even know where it is.
Yeah. So Ryan Field is way out west. It's about 12 miles west of Tucson International. Mm-hmm. Right where Valencia intersects with Ajo Way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's called a general aviation reliever. Mm-hmm. So we have a big flight school presence out there, as well as a lot of general aviation tenants. Three runways out there, and a very big presence and a very busy airport.
Don't tell me you have to also maintain those runways.
We do. We have two maintenance personnel and two airside ops. We try and treat it like it's a FAA-certified airport for commercial use. We treat it the same as we would as if it was a commercial use airport.
When the light bulb just this went off in my head, I was thinking light bulbs on an airport. When the light bulb goes out, is there an indicator on a panel, or is that just from the multiple inspections that go on during the day?
Yep. So we have a nighttime inspection, and that's specifically looking for all of our lights and signs that our airside operations team does.
And I bet they're not. I bet each light bulb isn't cheap.
They're not. And that they're, you know, they're,
you can't go to Ace Hardware and say, I need a runway. Would you have a runway light bulb? No, that's a real specialty, isn't it?
It is. Yep. And we keep plenty in stock so that way we can replace them as they go out.
All right, Adam. Nice meeting you and learning about what you do out of Tucson International Airport. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
And for folks, and I hope you do check out the website. And I hope you fly out of Tucson rather than going up to Phoenix. The website is flytucson.com. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Coming up after the break, our faith and spirituality contributor, Father Robert Hendrickson from St. Philip's, will be joining us. After all, this is Holy Week. And for our Jewish friends, it's Passover, and of course, Easter is right around the corner, coming up this Sunday. Take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Thursday continues right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. They've still got that sale going on selected merchandise, up to 50% off at Zocalo Village. That's part of the Green Things family at 3384 East River Road. We call it a tear-down sale, demolition sale. Three buildings there on Green Things at what the Zocalo Village part of the business must be torn down. They're in the federal floodplain area. So rather than invest the time to move all of the merchandise over to the new part of the Zocalo Village, why not just discount pretty much everything up to 50% off? Sales going very well. 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me in studio, our faith and spirituality contributor. I'm just so honored and blessed to have 24 regular contributors to this program, people who are at the top of their game, including Father Robert Hendrickson, rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I'm a proud member. Joining Father Robert is Father Scott Gunn, executive director of Forward Movement. That's a discipleship ministry of the Episcopal Church that offers the publication titled Forward Day by Day. They also do several different books, Bible studies, courses, podcasts, and other resources. And we welcome Father Scott Gunn back to the program. He was with us pretty much to the day 3 years ago to talk about Easter. And I'm lucky we're all lucky that he's even here. First of all, great to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having
Father
us.
Father Scott and Father Robert, thanks for coming.
Great to be here. Blessed Holy Week.
Yes, but it's a very interesting story that about 3 months after you were with me here in studio 3 years ago, you were beginning a vacation. I'm sure you were excited. We all get very excited when we've got a big trip coming up. I've got one 3 weeks from today, but who's counting, right? So you were in the Singapore airport on your way to Vietnam, and what happened? What happened at that point?
Well, I, unbeknownst to me, had a kind of a mitral valve defect that was a ticking bomb, and it went off, and my heart stopped in the middle of Singapore airport. I collapsed, whacked my head on the ground, and it took people doing CPR 59 minutes to get me going again.
Did not give up, and I'm glad they didn't.
That was the first of many miracles leading to my being here today. The nearest hospital to Singapore Airport is one of the best heart hospitals in the world, so they took excellent care of me. And I cannot tell you how many doctors have looked at my medical chart and said the only possible way I could be fully recovered is a literal miracle. It has to be divine intervention. And so thinking about Easter and death and life has special meaning for me now.
Yeah. Father Robert, we've all heard about Act Twos. That sure sounds like an Act Two. I've had a few of them. I'm going through an Act Two, and I, for one, believe in divine intervention. And certainly I think, and we just heard Father Scott say, yeah.
Absolutely. I think you know, all of us have those moments in our life where something, you know, something incredible happens and we don't have any sort of words to put to it. And I think the word we're always sort of grasping for is miracle.
Yeah.
Even though we're often reluctant in our sort of modern scientific age to assign that. Mm-hmm. We're very quick to blame God when things go wrong, but I think we sort of forget that there are these miracles that happen every day that we should be thankful for.
And what about non-believers? They've even been interested, their reaction, right, Father Scott?
You know, it's interesting. I had a few doctors who have looked at my chart who couldn't use the word miracle. It wasn't in their belief system. But what they've said is, I can't explain why you lived through this came out of it. So that's fine. That's maybe that's the atheist word for a miracle.
What about your Act Two? How are you approaching and how has it changed things?
Well, I've talked to a few people who almost died as like I did. And mm-hmm. One of the things that I think people who go through this have in common is a sense of urgency, and complacency vanishes pretty regularly. I'll just be walking around and suddenly look at the world, whether it's a beautiful nature scene or a strip mall, and say, wow, I am so blessed mm-hmm. and grateful to be alive right now. What a joy. And I would occasionally have those moments before all this, but not as often as I do now. And I'm grateful for that. I wish I could convey that to others, to not take anything about this life for granted.
Mm.
It's all a gift.
Well, gratitude is certainly a big part of it, right, Father Robert?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's the thing that gets squeezed out in our lives by sort of, you know, busyness and by a certain kind of complacency where we fail to see all the parts of our life as a gift. And it's only until those things are pulled away from us, or almost pulled away from us, that we suddenly realize how precious they are. And all of us have that experience in some way or another. And so it's a powerful gift to be given, a second chance to be thankful to God.
Mm. What's on your mind this Easter week, Father Robert?
Well, we have 85 lilies coming tomorrow, so that's on my mind.
85?
We have chairs to put out, live streams to coordinate, you know, so it's that. And also the whole Jesus stuff is on my mind, too. That's interesting, sort of being a regular parish priest and a rector. The rector is sort of worried about the logistics of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's been on my mind lately is trying to figure out how the story that we hear unfold this week for Christians who are participating in Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil on Saturday, and Easter Sunday, the story unfolding is a cosmic and transformational one, and one that has sort of, you know, implications for eternity. But it's also an immediate story, a story where people are sort of grieving, where people are mourning, where there's false testimony given, where there's betrayal, where there is loss, where there are tears, all of which we all experience in our life. And so for me, what's blending is that intersection of sort of the cosmic and the intimate, and recognizing that is the blood of Christ for us bridges that very gap between the intimate and the cosmic. And that is the enormous gift that unfolds over the next several days. And then even more than that, that death is conquered by death is the thing that is impossible to put your words around, impossible to get your mind around. And so we've had two millennia of Christians trying to figure out how to give words to that through hymns, through liturgies, through poems. And we will do it all this week, and then we'll do it all again next year, and then we'll do it all again the year after that, as we can keep trying to find a way to express the miraculous nature of what's unfolding.
By the way, I've had friends ask me very recently, why is Good Friday called Good Friday, Father Scott Gunn, when it should be called, on the surface, it would think it would be like Terrible Friday, Bad Friday. Why is it called Good Friday?
You will get different answers to that question from different people. I think the answer must surely be no one's quite sure. However, the two hypotheses I've heard are Good Friday is a kind of corruption of Old English, meaning God's Friday, that it's the day that God in Jesus Christ died. And another thing I've heard people say is that it's Good Friday because what could be more good than our salvation being accomplished on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
But Father Robert might have another idea or a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, you've said it well. I'm glad you got the question, though.
Yeah. I was going to try to divide it so that I could explain why it's Friday and you could explain why it's good. But
Let's take the break right here and talk a little bit about today, Maundy Thursday. And I have learned that Maundy is actually from the Latin meaning a commandment, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that, some interesting things about what that commandment was and how that applies today with so many people, we're supposed to love each other, but even those, you know, all the political stuff going on, it's kind of hard. So we'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon, Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. Be right back. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Yeah.
located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson. Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's Holy Week. Today's Maundy Thursday. Father Robert Hendrickson, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, a regular contributor, and I'm glad he is to this program. We call him our faith and spirituality contributor. We have 24 folks who regularly appear on the program. So delighted that they're a part of it. And Father Scott Gunn is with us, and Father Gunn has... It's always good to see him after, especially what happened 3 years ago, right, Father Scott?
It is delightful to be here for many reasons.
And I want to, because people are in and out of the car. That's why I like noon hour. It's kind of the noon drive time, so folks may have missed the, they may be just getting in the car and they're wondering, well, who is Father Scott Gunn? Well, he's the executive director of Forward Movement, which I believe recall based in Cincinnati.
Good memory. You're exactly right.
Yeah. And when you were here 3 years ago, we had we talked a little bit about trying to kind of keep the wonderful feelings of Easter Sunday going for how many days? 50?
The whole season of Easter is 50 days. That we get to celebrate Jesus' resurrection and triumph over death.
Unlike Christmas, which is the 12 days of Christmas.
Yes, you'll have to get back to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good thing no one's written a song yet, you know, on the first day of Easter.
and we're actually taking off Easter Monday here on at Bustos Media, which is wonderful. Right. Mr. Bustos said, hey, let's... All the shows we're going to be on tape because we're taking Easter Monday, which is a holiday in some parts of the world.
Yes.
And so I'm glad we're going to kind of join in on that. So I'm looking forward to that. Before we talk a little bit about, and I want to get back to those 50 days, Maundy Thursday, and I learned this today from what's called the Daily Bread. This is kind of a newsletter that St. Philip's in the Hills puts out about what's going on this particular day. And I learned that Maundy Thursday, Latin, meaning mandate or command, Father Robert.
Yes, so it comes from Scripture when Jesus gives the disciples a command to love one another. And so some people will be familiar with the liturgy of Maundy Thursday, which includes the foot washing, where sort of we're commanded to wash one another's feet as a sign for our love and care for one another, and to show that sort of what Jesus expects of us is such loving service as that. Mm-hmm. And it's designed to be sort of uncomfortable and sort of disruptive, and to sort of disrupt our sense of hierarchy when you think of Jesus sort of washing someone's feet. You can only imagine being in the room and sort of saying, well, you know, I'd rather not, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to do that, right? It's supposed to sort of, you know, disrupt your sense of the order of things, because the actual order of things is an algorithm of love that Christ plants in the heart of all of his followers. Mm-hmm. At least that's the ideal that we're trying to live up to through this commandment.
Well, this commandment, you must love one another, and we are so polarized right now, and it seems like, oh my gosh, your neighbor believes one thing about politics and you believe something else, and suddenly they're a bad person or you're a bad person. Kind of difficult to try to live up to that, love one another.
It always has been. I mean, and this is the thing. I think it's very tempting in a kind of self-involved kind of way to think, oh, these times are so uniquely terrible. But what we're always doing is sort of drawing historical antecedents or precedents to compare them to. So you go back through history. There aren't very many eras in history where you're like, well, that was a good time. You know, there's plagues, wars, famines, you know, schism, heresy, whatever it is, you know, crusades, whatever. So there's always something awful unfolding. And in the midst of that, it's always the call to love for Christians. And so the challenge for us is to allow our identity to be so rooted in Jesus and in his love that we forget the sort of petty vindictiveness that is the natural human condition from day to day. And it is hard to live up to, right? In Scripture, we're challenged to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's no expectation that we'll be perfect, but it's the striving for it, the striving for a more beautiful world, the striving for a more just world, the striving for a more compassionate world that's at the heart of the Christian mission. And if we just give up on that, then we have essentially renounced our citizenship in the kingdom at that point.
Mm-hmm. Father Scott Gunn, getting back to those multiple days of Easter, 50 days, what kind of message do you think we should kind of keep in mind during that period? How do you keep the movement, the momentum that, you know, we're going to feel good, all of us that are going to go to church on Sunday, we're going to feel good, it's Easter, it feels like there's a renewal, it feels fresh. How do you keep that going?
Right. I think some of it is to contemplate the magnitude of what we are celebrating on Easter, that a dead person, Jesus Christ, was fully dead, came back to life, which is not how we expect the universe to work. And what that shows us is it's a demonstration that God's love is sovereign, that nothing can separate us from God's love, that nothing can defeat God's love. On Good Friday, it looked like the Roman Empire had prevailed. They executed Jesus like a common criminal.
Yes.
On Easter Sunday, when Jesus walked out of the tomb, it showed that God's love has the last word, that grace and mercy always have the last word, not evil and death. And so what we need to do is tell ourselves that over and over again, so that when we're looking at the headlines, reading the news, talking to our neighbors, mm-hmm. we can remember evil and death don't have the last word. Grace and mercy do.
Father Robert, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the Lenten season when you were guesting here on the program on Ash Wednesday about perhaps the church as a sanctuary might be the last place where people who, whether they're to the left or the right or in the center, can come together and perhaps for an hour and a half, be one in one belief.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges right now is we have a kind of a fracturing of a shared sense of reality. You know, so we're all watching different news, and it's gotten to the point where there's just about an individual news station for every individual. And it's almost not an exaggeration when you think of the way our news is curated for
us.
So it's almost impossible to have a common starting place, a basis of fact from which you can have an honest discussion. And so what the church offers is not just a sort of a place for dialogue or a kind of alternative to that, but it offers a regrounding in the reality that is sort of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for Christians. But they gives you a common starting place from which to have a discussion about ethics, about values, about fears, about hope, all those things. Because, you know, all those things, they're the drivers of the way we engage the world, mm-hmm. right? And so if you start from a place where you presume that everything you have is a gift, you presume that there's an inherent dignity in every human being around you, you presume that God loves the world so much that he gave his only son for the person you hate the most, then your politics have to change. Mm-hmm. They have to adapt to the person who's in front of you, not the projection that your news is showing you in your individualized news feed.
Mm-hmm. Father Scott Gunn, why don't you pick up on that a little bit? Because you're in town for a week and you visit many different Episcopal congregations around the country and maybe even North America and around the world. How are the different congregations approaching that subject that Father Robert was it so eloquently articulated?
Well, I think the ones that are committed to the Christian gospel are doing just what Father Robert said and trying to look beyond partisan labels and labels of any kind and see every single person on this planet reflects the glory of God because we're all made in God's image. So every person is worthy of dignity and respect. And Jesus told us, if I say, well, so-and-so is my enemy, I don't like their politics, they're my enemy. Well, guess what? Jesus says, love your enemy. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's being mean to me and he said, turn the other cheek and bless those who persecute you, Jesus is relentless in demanding our love of God and our love of neighbor. And what the church can do is teach that. And Father Robert's right. Churches are one of the last places in our polarized society where people sometimes come together, and there are communities where we can, grounded in what's deeply true, practice loving people that maybe we don't like.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Father Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hearing Scott say, you know, loving people that we might not necessarily like, you know, I think what we're all being called to is you know, a cosmic banquet. And sometimes that's going to look like Thanksgiving dinner. Sometimes you're deeply thankful for who's there and what you're eating. Yeah. And sometimes you're not so thankful.
That's right.
But nonetheless, you're still called to love one another at that table. And so I think the challenge for all of us is to remember that we're being called to sort of one table together. We're being called called by a God who has called each and every one of us to that table. And so remembering that you know, in our partisan pushes to view one another through a lens of, you know, skepticism, distrust, or hatred, that we're always being called back to look at people with through the lens of God's love and not through the lens of our fear.
Hope it's a joyous Easter for both of
so
you
too.
Gentlemen.
I'm sure it will be. We'll be busy and looking forward to having you there.
I will be there. Actually looking forward to the 11:15 service because there'll be some beautiful music as well, right?
Absolutely. And there will be a pretty good sermon that I'm giving.
There'll be lots of good. We'll look forward to that.
Even better music and great incense. So all of it's going to be there.
The whole true package religion. Will there. And Father Scott Gunn, Executive Director of the Cincinnati, Ohio-based Forward Movement. All I can say is, Father Scott, what a blessing you're still here. And keep up the good work. How's that?
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you today.
Thank you very much. All right. On behalf of Father Scott and Father Robert, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and I always my wish for everyone, wishing everybody well.